Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Lord, we pray for this word that we have this morning, Lord God. And Lord, it's your word, Lord God. And we pray that you would anoint this word and use me today to just bring forth this word with clarity, that it would touch people's lives and bring life, Lord, because it is your word. In Jesus' name, amen, Father. Amen. Well, last week, if you remember, we were looking at the light. Oh, there goes the mic. Is it okay? Okay. And God used this man. Everything he went through in his life, God was able to use that to, what we saw was to fulfill God's greater purpose. And especially concerning the nation of Israel. And we entered the story when Joseph was only 17 years old, and he had a couple dreams, and he shared those dreams with his brothers who just hated him because he was the favorite child and because they didn't like the dreams because they had his family bowing down before him. But that set the stage. That began the process of all these things that were going to happen to him to bring him through to a place that God had already ordained. And soon after he shared those dreams, this series of events began to unfold. And what he went through was enough to test the character and the commitment of anybody. Anybody, is, you know, for those especially following the Lord, to stay close to God. And yet, in spite of all those trials and all the unfair accusations and punishment that he endured, he maintained his testimony and his godly character and his faith. Not only was able to maintain them, but they even grew during that time. And eventually, he saw God's plans unfolding right before his eyes. And that amazing account of Joseph's life demonstrated Joseph's faith and patience. Somebody who loved and trusted God more than their own expectations about how things should go. And what Joseph understood and learned is what we need to learn and understand, and that's that God's plans don't revolve around us. We have to fit into God's plans. And God does have a plan for every single one of us. And what we need to see here also is that all of these plans, because we're all unique, all of our lives, all of the plans for our lives will all fit in to God's great plan. And it's his eternal, unchanging plan. And so then the question would be, well, do we know what that plan is? I mean, do we have any idea what it is? Well, there's something in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 that God shares with us there in his word that gives us a good idea about this plan. And it says in Ephesians 1, starting in verse 9, "And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment." And this is it. "To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Jesus Christ," or even Christ. Should be right. Oh, it used to be. Oh, there it is. Is that it up there? Yep. That's the vision of our church. That's what we work towards, bringing all things under Jesus Christ. That's advancing the kingdom. That's what that's all about. The closer we get to God and the better we get to know him, the more we will understand his ways. And this is exactly what God is looking for. He's looking for people who want what he wants, who love what he loves, who cares about what he cares about, who want to walk with him, and who will seek first his kingdom and will work to accomplish God's plans, his redemption, the reconciliation, his restoration of his people. God is searching. An easy way to say it would be God is searching for a people after his heart. And he points out an example to us in his word, and you may already know who I'm talking about. Some of you I know do. And he points to this example of someone who fits the description perfectly, and his name is David. And he says it right in Acts 13:22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, "I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." David was a man who continually sought God. He was always, you know, seeking after God. And we find an example of his prayer life and the hunger. It shows the hunger he had for God in Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 8. And I'm going to read that to you. It says, "O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. I think of you through the watches of the night. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me, and in your name I will lift up my hands." Does that sound like the prayer of a man desperately in love with God? It is. And that's what God is talking about. David was somebody who was after God's heart. He was always trying to get hold of God's heart. And so I guess the question is, do you want to be like that? Do we really want that? Do we want to be somebody seeking after the heart of God? Because, you know, this flesh doesn't really want that. I'm sure we all know that. If we get into the flesh, the last thing it wants is to spend time in the Word, or, you know, worship or go to church or do all those kind of things. And I have to admit, I mean, I don't feel like I'm at that point in my life. I wish I could say I was, but man, he sounds like he is just sold out, on fire. That's his life, and he is hungry for God. He is always after him. But you know what? It sounds like that, but even David knew that he needed help. And I think we all need help, don't we? To have that kind of passion for God. To have that kind of hunger. There's a psalm in Psalm 119, verse 33 through 37. When David is praying, and as we read this part of the psalm, and these psalms are, most of them are David, many of them are David's, and he's pouring out his heart. And, you know, he loves God, his heart is after God, and yet he knows, as we all should know, that there's a constant tension, there's a constant struggle. Even though our soul, our spirit within us is hungry for God, this flesh is always going to fight against us, right? And so David understands that. So he says, starting 119, verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them in the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and preserve my life according to your word." Why does he pray all that? Because those are his struggles. He knows that he needs to follow more. He knows that he needs more understanding. He knows that he needs direction in his life. He knows that he has to constantly remember to turn his heart back towards God. He knows that he needs help to guard his eyes from looking for things that are of this world, worthless things. And we all have those same struggles. We do. God knows exactly what's going on in our heart. And he knows what was going on in David's heart. Even though he had those struggles, he found David, it says, to be, he was sold out for him. He found him to be a man after his heart. So I want to take a moment and just look at that one word there where it says, God found David to be a man after his heart. If it says that he found him, that must have meant, I would think that there's some aspect of searching in there, that God was looking for someone. There's a bunch of scriptures that talk about how God is seeking a certain people, that God is looking for. God is, you know, he found. And here's that one, he found him. In the book of Samuel, when King Saul blew it, and remember, Saul was the first king of Israel, and God had anointed him, and yet he blew it because he was doing his own thing rather than waiting on God. And so the prophet Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 13:13, "Now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart." There it is again. The Lord has sought. The Lord was looking and found a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. God is always searching for people after his heart. He wants men and women who are sold out for him and are more committed to accomplishing what God wants than what we want. It's not that we can't have things. God will bless us in many, many ways. And there, it's no sin to want a nice house or a nice car or a nice family or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's no problem with that at all. But we can't want those things more than we want God and God's will in our life. So God is searching for people who will let their wish list be below God's purpose. On our priority list in life, we need to have God first. People who seek first the kingdom, and then all these other things will be given to us. When David was getting old, and he was getting ready to pass on the kingdom of Israel, God himself told him that it was going to be his son Solomon who that he should pass it on to. God said to David in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 6, "Solomon, your son, is the one who will build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." That's pretty cool. Did you know that God chose you to be his son and his daughter? "I will establish his kingdom forever if he is unswerving in carrying out my commands and laws." And this is pretty cool, "as is being done at this time." In other words, as you're doing, David. He's telling David, "You're doing a good job. And now I want to bless you, and I'll bless your family, and I want you to put your son Solomon on the throne because you're getting ready to go. But he has to stay with me if he wants to be blessed." That's what he's telling him. And so David, he completely understood this. He knew the importance of having a heart after God. So when he was setting in his son, he charged him with these words. And we do that when we set people in some type of ministry. We pray over them and we charge them. And 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9 says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. As I said, God has chosen us. He's called us to be kingdom builders, to be faithful to these eternal plans that we're talking about. Whose plan are you going to follow? That's what I talked about last week. He searches our hearts. He knows the motives, the reasons for our actions. He understands. Other people don't. Sometimes we're misjudged. Sometimes we're, misjudged when we were doing good. Sometimes we're not doing good and people think we're doing good. I mean, people, we don't know the heart. Only God knows the heart. So God is searching for people who are after His heart. And unfortunately, that search is not always successful. There was a time when the sins of Israel were so great that God was going to have to destroy Jerusalem and use the king of Babylon to take His people captive so He could teach them a lesson. So God was looking for a leader. He was searching who could put the house of Israel in order, but there wasn't anybody. Ezekiel 22:30, I looked for a man. There he is, searching again. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. How many times has God looked for someone to stand in the gap? Someone who is after His heart. Some situation that has opened up. Something that needs to be done. Some job, some word spoken, some action taken, some life lived. And God's looking for that person to fill the gap. And it says here that He found none in Jerusalem. He's looking for someone that is after His heart. Someone that will speak for Him, do His will, be His ambassador, and save others from destroying themselves. The name of my message for today is, will you stand in the gap? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Will you stand in the gap? How many times has God not been able to find somebody like here, what happened in Israel? God's looking for someone to stand in the gap. Now, the best example we've ever had was obviously Jesus. He was the only, one and only perfect example of somebody who stood in the gap. He was a man who was completely, completely after His Father's heart. He went even beyond David. He was constantly seeking His Father's will. He only spoke what the Father told Him to speak. He only did what the Father told Him to do. Jesus was the perfect mediator between God and man. Because He stood in the gap and paid for our sins on the cross, that was a tough gap to stand in. He really gained something for us. He gained for us the victory over sin and death. And through His resurrection, He gained for us the eternal life that we now have in Jesus. He made it possible for every single one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can have a direct connection with our Heavenly Father. And so we can have all the help we need to be able to do and to say whatever our Father would have us do or say. So now we can stand in the gap. We'll never be as perfect as Jesus. Where God, it says what we saw earlier there, that He could find no one to stand in the gap. Now we are here to stand in the gap. To be His voice. dreams. So you can't be thinking, well, that's for somebody. It's for you. It's for you. Every single person in here to stand in the gap. You know that, Fred? That's you sometimes, right? And Esther? Christy gets to stand in the gap too. How do you like that? There's a lot of people. Joe over there could stand in the gap. Hillary and James. Even Jameson could. We've all been called to be gap fillers. But like Jesus, for us to be able to do that, we have to know the Father's heart. We have to know what He wants us to do. We have to have an understanding of how to present, how to speak, what to do. So we have to make it our goal to seek Him out, to spend time in prayer, to love the Word, to worship God, you know, to be filled and be led by the Holy Spirit. You might be thinking, well, I don't think I can stand in the gap for God. I'm not holy. I don't really see myself as somebody that holy. I'm not like David, and I'm sure not like Jesus. You don't feel super intelligent or confident. You don't have a title or a ministry or a reputation or something like that. Maybe you think, well, I haven't been saved long enough. Or I'm not wise enough. And then we start thinking, who am I that God could use me? Doesn't that sound like Gideon? Remember that? We talked about him a few weeks back. When God called him a mighty warrior. And now He's telling you guys, me, all of us, that we are the mighty warriors, that He has chosen us, and He wants to use us to stand in the gap. In Samuel 16:1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." And in verse 6, Samuel 16:6, "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, and he thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" See, God's looking for that person whose heart is after Him. That's the qualification. Verse 10, "Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you got? There's supposed to be somebody here.' Well," and he said, "well, there's still the youngest. I mean, he's just a little guy. He's out in the fields. He's out in the pasture. He's tending the sheep." His dad's thinking, surely you don't mean him. Samuel said, "Send for him. We won't sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in, and he was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for he is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came about on David in power. And I'm not going to get into all the stuff that David went through, you know, lions and bears and fighting Goliath and running a kingdom and doing all kinds of things. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. God knew that this little guy was the one He wanted. The world's standard is not God's standard. We don't have to be big or powerful or flashy. God chose in 1 Corinthians 1:27, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong." So if you think you don't have what it takes, if you think you're too weak, don't have this, that, the other thing, God says, no, That's not what I'm worried about. I see your heart. I see your heart. I know that you'll try to do the best you can for me. And that's what I'm looking for. That's what God is looking for. So how do we know if our heart is after God's heart? Well, we judge by the same standard that God does. Acts 13:22, I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my own heart. How? What? He will do everything I want him to do. So we have to get to the place where we can hear God and be led by His Spirit and hear that small voice, that leading of the Holy Spirit, and then move on what God wants us to do. If our heart is really after God, then our desire will be to please Him, to please God, and do what God desires. Now, I'm sure some of you are still thinking, well, I still don't know if I'm in that league. I don't know if I've got that, you know, that kind of good heart. I make mistakes. I blow it. I know I'm not perfect. Well, join the club. I don't think anybody in here perfect. You know who the president of the imperfect club was? David himself. A man who, you know, was after God's heart, but David had his faults. He was definitely not the poster boy for perfection. He made a lot of mistakes, and so will we. But do you love God? Is your heart after Him? Will you be ready to stand in the gap? Do you know that David, he lied, he deceived, he stole, he committed adultery and murder. Have you done all that? I can honestly say I haven't done all that. I know we've all done a lot of stuff. I know I've done stuff that wouldn't please God. But what we need to see here is, I mean, we've all had our sins. We've all got our past. We all still blow it. But what we're seeing is that David, in spite of how he blew it, God still saw that he was a man after his heart. And how did God see that? What did he see? What was it that proved how much he loved God? Here's the thing. David would sin, he would blow it big time, but then when he realized his sin, when he was confronted, one time literally confronted with his sin, he broke down. He was humbled. He recognized how he had hurt God, how he had made mistakes, how he had blown it, and he repented of his sins. And then he once again began to press into God. And see, that's the key. We have to keep getting up. We have to keep coming back. God, I blew it again. We can't let the devil... See, the devil will get in there and say, you know, you've sinned. You're no good. God's not going to use you. What good are you? You're going to probably sin again. And so we say, well, there's no sense. I can't serve God. I'm damaged merchandise. Sure, we all are. And that's just the kind of person God will use. Because we know we're weak. We have to see our weaknesses. Because when we are weak, God can be strong. It's not until we recognize how much of a failure we've been in the flesh that God can now use for His glory. David's heart was after God. God was his priority. He sought first the kingdom of God. That's what he cared about. Yes, he blew it. But he always came back, and God was fond of him. Just like when our kids blow it. If we know our kids love us to death and that they are honestly trying to serve us, and love us, be obedient, however you want to say it, and be a good child, be a good son or a daughter, and they blow it, do we just tell them, get out? Of course not. God, we saw that in the prodigal son when he came back, when he came to his senses. We come to our senses, we humble ourselves, say, God, I'm sorry. I want to be with you. I want to love you. I want to honor you. I want to seek first your kingdom. So that was the priority of David's heart. So what's the priority of our heart? Are we putting our love for God above this passing world, above all the things that we like to collect? We all like to collect things. There's all kinds of things that are alluring and tempting to us in this world. They're all over the place. And we go to work, we get a paycheck, and we buy some of those things. And we plan on buying some. Does that mean we're terrible? No. We just got to remember priorities. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the heart of God. God is still searching today, right now, for men and women to stand in the gap. Right where you are, whether it's in your home, whether it's at your church, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's in your neighborhood, he's always looking for someone that will be his voice. Someone that will do his will. Someone that will take a stand for him in this ungodly world that we live in. Somebody's got to be out there speaking the truth. And the Word of God says that his church is going to be growing, that his kingdom is advancing, so somebody must be doing it. And we're that somebody that's supposed to be out there doing it. So we can add our self, our fire, our passion, our willingness to get out there and help advance that kingdom. Take ground for the kingdom of God. Build his church. Build his people. Encourage one another. We can make a difference. You can make a difference. You know, some people will be passed by. No, that one's too busy. That one cares too much about the world. That one's too worried about what other people think. That one just wants to get ahead. And that one just wants to make money. This one over here, he's too lazy, too fearful, too greedy, too whatever. But, oh, there's some people that are after my heart. Man, there's a good selection over here at Downriver. I like what I'm seeing here. That's God, right? He's looking out right now and he's saying, I like what I'm seeing here. Imperfect people who have decided to follow God, who have decided to put God first in their lives, that's who God's looking for. There's plenty of room to get on God's team. You know, he doesn't only have 9 players. He's got plenty of people. He needs more. It says, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Remember, God knows you're not perfect. You're not the best ball player on the field. He doesn't care. He wants you on his team. The only real requirement, if it was baseball, would be to say you love the game. In this case, it's you love God. You're a person after his heart. Do you want to be that someone? Will you be one who will stand in the gap for God? As you go about your days, as you get back out there at work, as you visit someone this afternoon, as you're in a restaurant, as you're in line at the store, as you're talking to your neighbor, and something comes up, a conversation, a need, whatever it might be, that's when our mind should click into gear and say, is this where I'm supposed to stand in the gap? What would God have me do right now? How can I bring God into this situation? What can I minister? How can I minister God's love to this person who's hurting? It's not that hard. We just have to open up and try to catch God's voice through his Spirit within us. And then just do what he says. That's standing in the gap for God. If I could have the prayer team come forward. So I hope you are asking yourself, even right now, will I be able to stand in the gap? You think you can? What do you think? What do you think? Can you do it? Is it too hard? You see, if we say it's too hard, then we're saying, well, I guess God doesn't really know what he's doing. Remember, we talked back a few weeks ago. I was talking about how we have to trust God. We all say we trust God. What we have to do now is trust God inside of us. Do you believe that with God all things are possible? Do you believe that God in you, through you, has the ability? Do you think he has the ability to work through you? That he can give you what you need to say something or do something? Of course he does. Don't sell yourself short and don't sell God short. He can do it. So trust God in you to make you the person who can stand in the gap. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you would even see fit use us, Lord God, to stand in the gap, to be used by you, Lord God. Father, we want to be that person who has our heart after you, Lord God. We want to be that person that puts you at the top of our list. We want to be that person who seeks first the kingdom. Lord, help us. Just like David prayed his prayers, teach me, Lord God. Teach me, guide me, direct my path. Direct my eyes. Direct my heart. Help me, God, to be that faithful servant. Hallelujah, Lord God. We turn our days, Lord God, our times over to you. Lord God, use us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.